5 minutes after 1 o'clock, final hour of the program. Still a lot to come, though. We've got Brian Howell joining us coming up in a moment. Talking to us, hopefully we can get a hold of him. What if he's in the middle of an interview with George Kliavkoff or something? I don't know. And we did hear reports, Angel, that Deion Sanders got out of surgery okay?
Yeah, I saw some posts earlier that his wife had made post-surgery. So he seems to be recovering. And
seems to be good. Okay, so that's great news. That's excellent news. Certainly rooting for a speedy recovery there because, as you know, I'm rooting for success.
Oh, so you want him to lose his leg.
I want him to not lose his leg, and I want him to not lose to TCU and not lose to Nebraska. And then I picked CSU to win, so I guess you could say I want him to lose to CSU because I want my picks to come true. They won't beat TCU, though. They might beat Nebraska. Based on zero knowledge. Mm-hmm.
That's the most clean slate game I can think of.
Yeah. All right, so, Angel, is Tua finally starting to get some respect?
Hey, no.
Because the ultimate respect is what Madden thinks of you.
Madden, quarterback ratings are out.
Yeah. Top 10 quarterbacks.
All of them, actually.
Let me guess.
See.
You want me to see if I can... Now, you already told me, but I didn't remember.
Top 5.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is one.
He's 99 overall.
Okay. Number two, is that going to be Josh Allen?
No.
No, is it going to be Joe Burrow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Joe Burrow's number two. Is Josh Allen three?
Yep.
Hurts, four? Aaron Rodgers, four?
Nope.
Kirk Cousins?
Nope.
Who am I missing here?
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Oh, Lamar Jackson. He's number four?
He's number four.
Wow. Well,
3 points over Jalen Hurts.
Well, obviously. He's Lamar Jackson. He's his own agent. He's two people at once. He could probably throw the ball 50 yards in the air and go catch it. I think he could. He could hand the ball to himself and run for 30-yard gain.
So those four quarterbacks, they all have X factors. Jalen Hurts just has a star.
Where's Jalen at five?
He's at five.
Okay, is Josh Allen at six?
Josh Allen's at three.
Oh, okay.
So it's Mahomes, Burrow,
Allen. Oh, that's
Allen,
right. Okay, that's right. I got Allen right.
Jackson, Hurts.
So where are we at now? Seven?
Six.
Six. Is that Herbie?
That's Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. Okay. Is seven Herbie?
Seven is Herbie.
Eight is... Rodgers got to be in there.
Rodgers is number eight.
So not. I already know 10. So I won't cheat. Number nine has got to be... Who is number nine on the... Who did I... Kirked.
It's Kirked Cousins.
Kirked Cousins. And then Tua made the top 10
number
list.
Number 10.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good.
Yeah?
Jumped from He was a 73 last year. So he jumped up a full 10 points.
Hey,
rating.
Games I watched him play when he was healthy. I thought he looked good.
It is a little surprising. He was rated just above Trevor Lawrence and Geno Smith.
They're kind of in that set. Geno's got to prove
it. I feel like
Trevor's
been getting a lot of love, though.
I think Trevor...
Just for that one playoff
game. I got to put together my quarterback tiers here. I'm looking forward to that. Those are all knowing.
Where Russell is?
And
take a guess.
16.
Nope.
Better or higher? Or worse?
Worse.
Better or higher? Worse than 16. Is he in the 20s?
Nope.
19.
Nope.
18.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
77 overall.
Golly, dude.
He does have a star power, though. So
cool. What's his star power? Working out on a plane? Pitching a Subway ad? Or a Subway sandwich? Just having Sierra there?
Yeah, I guess it's just...
Russ was like fun. In the 90s forever. Is this the first year that he's not actually in the 90s? Wow. That's wild. I mean, it doesn't... I'm not disagreeing with it.
He was a 76 last year.
Oh, going into the season?
Up 1 point.
He was a 76 going into the season?
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
He jumped up 1 point.
Well, I guess the year before wasn't spectacular. His last year was Seattle. Where's Jared Goff on that list? We're going to do... We continue on with our NFC our division previews. We've got the NFC North.
Jared Goff is 13th.
You said you wanted to see Jared Goff in this new documentary, this Netflix thing, the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I think he's very interesting.
I think he's really interesting. The situation that happened with the Rams and now where he is now.
He was a top pick for the Rams, was thought to be, you know, oh my gosh, they had that, what, 2017-16 mm-hmm. season that was really, really fun.
Yep.
And you thought the Rams were going to be a powerhouse. They went to the Super Bowl and then lost in the, like, 20-3 to the Patriots. And then he got traded.
Yeah,
and he kind of just fell off after that Super Bowl.
And you thought, man, you just went from a potential Super Bowl team in the Rams. And they did. They went on and won a Super Bowl. And Jared Goff's just stuck in Detroit. But
And then
Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
They figured something
they
out.
They bit some kneecaps off, and they're being lions out there. And they are. Would you, true or false? The Detroit Lions are the one team that everybody can agree that they kind of like, except for probably in the NFC North.
I'd say true.
That's like a team everybody's rooting for.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they've just been bad for so long, and now it's
Detroit, it's Dan Campbell.
I don't think in the NFL there's really like a very, really bad team anymore. It doesn't feel like when you would, like 10 years ago, you'd be like, oh yeah, Jacksonville, Detroit, Cleveland. Those are like your stereotypical bad teams. Now it doesn't really feel like there is a bad team.
Not really, because you can kind of give something positive almost about everybody, except for maybe the Colts.
Colts, Cardinals, Raiders.
Well, the Cardinals, you can still say when Kyler Murray comes back and he gets
They're tanking for Caleb or something, crashing for Caleb.
So, like, you're right, though. Buffalo, obviously, stud team. Miami, you can make a case for them to be a good team. They were 9-8 last year in a playoff team. The Patriots are the Patriots. Bill Belichick, New York Jets, and they got Rodgers now. And they won 7 last year without him. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, it's a good football team. Baltimore, obviously, for obvious reasons. Pittsburgh Steelers, they were 9-8. Kind of a little surprise there.
I'm not going to doubt Tomlin.
Cleveland? Well, you got Deshaun Watson for a full year now.
Yep.
Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, 9-8. Tennessee, Derrick Henry.
No.
You can still make a case for them doing something. The Colts, probably not.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor.
Thomas. Well, home improvement, you know. Mm. You know what I mean. Chiefs. Texans, though. How about the Texans got some, now there's some things.
New coach, they got some stuff going there.
They're quarterback now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City, obviously Chargers. Raiders have some things to talk about. Broncos have some things to talk about. Philly, good. Dallas, good. Giants,
good.
Washington, 8-8 last year.
The Washington Asterix.
Is that what is their name going to be?
I don't know. They're going to change it again.
The Washington's Washingtons. The Washington Washingtons.
The Washington TBDs.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that think they could be pretty good this year.
Oh, Chase Young, he's healthy.
Yeah. Minnesota, very good last year. King of the comebacks.
They got Kirk Cousins, man.
Detroit, good. 9-8. Kept the Packers out of the playoffs. They're feeling good about themselves. The Bears are 3-14, but
apparently Justin Fields is going to throw 4,000 yards next year.
He's going to throw for 9 million yards is what he's telling everybody. Tampa Bay, they got Baker, and their defense is still probably pretty good.
He's solid, yeah.
Carolina, they got their guy.
Bryce Young.
7-10 last year. Saints, they have their guy maybe with Derek Carr. Atlanta, that's the one I'm not. Atlanta, so what are we thinking? Atlanta, the Colts right now. Mm-hmm. Those are the two teams that if you're an Atlanta fan and an Indianapolis fan, sorry.
Yeah, maybe sit this one out.
Yeah, watch something else. San Francisco, good. Mm-hmm. Seattle, you have reason to believe. You got Geno. That's working.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, 5-12, but
Stafford's the back. Mm. Donald's still there. I think their defense may take a step back a bit, but you still have Cooper Kupp and that quarterback with McVay as the coach. I'm not doubting him just yet.
Arizona, we talked about that. That's, again, new coach.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have appeal to me, I guess, somewhat. But it's those two.
They got new uniforms. That's something.
That's always a good thing. Atlanta and Indianapolis. Those are the two teams that are like, okay, those are just bad teams. There's not a lot of real intrigue surrounding them. Well, Kenny Swami, great to have him at 10, but make sure to turn injuries off. Talking about Tua.
The injury rating is an 83. Toughness at a 93.
Well, it's probably even better because of the,
Well, when you change the helmet in the game, it adds 12 points.
The karate and stuff.
It's jiu-jitsu.
That's definitely made him more, you know, more of a fighter.
Oh, just wait till you see his tattoo.
You showed me.
I showed you a drawing of it. We still haven't seen the real thing.
You're so excited about this tattoo.
It's cool. I like tattoos. They're cool.
I asked you yesterday, are you going to get one?
I'm itching to get one like
that?
Soon. Not a sleeve.
You can't get that because isn't
I'm
that like Hawaiian, a Hawaiian
so.
Thing?
Yeah.
Like, so if you go out and you get a Hawaiian symbol and you're not Hawaiian, it's kind of like, really?
Like, whatever The Rock has, that's what Tua has.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Stupid question. The Rock used to have the Brahma Bull tattooed on his arm. Did he cover that with the Hawaii one, or does he still have that? Because that was one of his nicknames.
Oh, I don't know.
Tanner said
that's
Tua.
Cal Talk, I don't know. That's Tanner's department.
Well, Tanner texting, Angel's obsession with Tua is unhealthy.
It's not an obsession.
I don't know.
I brought him up in like 3 months.
I think
I try not to bring him up that often.
I'm not obsessed with players. I don't get like that. You know, I'm never like that. You know, okay. Lamar Ravens is what they should change the name.
The 10 David Roddy pictures in your office would beg to differ.
I just got one. Do I even have
your home
one
office,
in there?
Brady?
I have one that he signed and he was dunking it.
It's your prized possession.
It's one of them.
Stare at it every night before bed. I could be like David.
Well, I don't know. The office is in the basement.
Well, you stared at it so much, it's just burned into your brain.
Tanner says, Lamar Jackson, anyone? I was being facetious. Is that the word for it?
I don't think so.
I don't.
I was going to say that, too.
I saw you started to say it. No, of course I'm obsessed with players. I love getting behind
a
certain player.
Are you a sports fan if you're not obsessed with the team and the players?
I like picking out players sometimes and just going, that's
you
the
just
guy.
Turn on the TV on the weekend, I'm going to watch sports.
No, I get...
I don't have rooting interests.
Dude, I was all like into Jadeveon Clowney at South Carolina State. I was like, that guy is going to be amazing, and I'm all in, and I loved watching him play college. Just last year was kind of rough. But yes, I definitely get into that mode. No doubt about it. It's fun. Guys you just root for. Clinton Portis was my guy even when he got shipped out of Denver.
Isn't Tanner's guy like Mitch Trubisky or something?
It's Mitch Trubisky and like CJ Crone or whatever. And like he's obsessed with CJ Crone. Tanner says, Drew Locke, anyone? Another guy that just got an unfair rap.
That's a feel-good story. And we're always waiting for the next chapter.
And I'll be the one that's like, see guys?
When he makes it big in the XFL next year.
When they finally write off Geno Smith and he doesn't write back, then Drew Locke will be ready.
Drew Locke's going to open that mailbox.
He'll open that mailbox and be like, who's this letter for? 18 minutes after the hour, Brian Howell coming up next. We'll talk some Pac-12 media days. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephalou Fowl, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Brian Howell from the Buff Zone, our CU Buffs insider, live from Pac-12 Media Days. Brian, nothing to discuss there, right? No big news or anything.
No, not at all. Nothing going on. It's just a couple of teams that are showing up and talking football.
I'm guessing they stuck true to their word. And they did not announce a TV deal today. We didn't think they would. They said they wouldn't. But we didn't get any kind of whiff of that, did we?
No, they didn't announce it. And actually, the commissioner raised some eyebrows because he said, we're purposely not announcing a deal today because we wanted to focus on football. And then he gets a follow-up question like, does that mean you have one to announce, but but you're not wanting to do it today? And he goes, no, you're reading too much into that. And so I'm not sure it's quite done yet.
Oh, boy.
I think they keep saying they're close, but we've heard that for a year now, so we'll see.
What are you hearing, Brian? Like, I mean, we saw what the ACC did with their kind of mixed deal, working with the CW and such. Any whiffs, any hints?
Not really. I mean, we've heard a lot that it's going to be some linear TV, some streaming outlets, kind of a mix of all that. But, you know, the commissioner did say, so one thing we've learned is the longer we wait, the better our options get, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, he again had an optimistic approach to the whole deal today. So we'll see. I mean, they need to get it done soon, I think, or else some teams are going to get antsy.
I think you're right. I mean, it's a recruiting tool down the road, too. You want to know what the money situation looks like. I mean, all of that that goes into this, Brian, the longer it goes, you're right, the more frustrating it's going to get for these teams.
Yeah, no question. And I think it already is frustrating. I think that, you know, there's so many rumors around Colorado, and I think that, you know, Colorado probably has explored some options because they're a little bit worried about what's our future going to look like here. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's other schools that have looked around as well, just to kind of have that fallback option.
Brian Howell joining us. Brian, I saw on ESPN this morning talking about more about Klievkov and what he had to say. He was asked specifically about the, you know, any concern that other conferences such as the Big 12 are poaching, actively trying to poach players from the Pac-12. And he didn't seem too concerned that that's something that's happening.
Yeah, he said he's not concerned about it, and said that he actually said, I know the truth. I know what's going on in these rooms. I know the truth, and you know, we're sticking together. And so, you know, we'll see on that. I mean, I think they were blindsided by USC and UCLA last year too. So I think there's probably always some deals, sub deals are going on behind the scenes. So you know, we'll see. I think that until there's an actual deal there that's signed and everybody's on board, you still have to wonder what's going on.
What else stood out to you? Obviously, we know Primetime couldn't be there because of his surgery. It sounds like he did come out of the surgery okay, so we're hoping for the best for him, certainly. But I know that it was kind of the TV deal and Primetime, right? Those were kind of going to be the two big deals going on at Pac-12 Media Days, but we knew we weren't going to get the TV announcement. And then Primetime earlier this week, we heard from you, Brian, that he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, so a little bit you know, tempered excitement, I guess, with Pac-12 Media Day, but Colorado hasn't even gone to the podium yet, so we haven't really even seen the Buffs yet. I did run into Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter this morning and said hello to them, but you know, we haven't really heard from them yet today, so not much to report yet on what they're going to say, but the Buffs are coming up here in a couple hours.
All right, well, we're seeing a lot of the preseason stuff coming out, the media poll and everything. Brian, help me out here. Where does the media, Pac-12 Media, have the Buffs finishing?
They had them 11th, so
wow.
Right above Stanford, and you know, yeah, probably. I was asked, I thought that was fair by someone else. I think it is fair, just based on the fact that nobody really knows what this team is going to look like, and there are so many players on this team that you know, come from Power 5 schools that didn't even play a whole lot, so nobody knows how good they are. So I think, at least on paper, you look at it going in, I think 11th is fair, but I do think they're better than that. We'll finish better than that.
Yeah, I think they will too. There's just so many unknowns about it. And what do you think the realistic expectations are, Brian, from their camp, like with Primetime realistically? Because I know at the beginning of all this, it was like, we want to compete ASAP as soon as next year. But realistically, where do you think their heads are? Are they really thinking, no, we can be the class of the Pac-12 this year?
Well, I think that as competitors, certainly guys like Coach Prime and Shadur and Travis, guys like that, are thinking that. But I think that if you talk to, you know, people within the program, I think more realistic is if we can get to a bowl game, that's a really good year. I think that that's probably realistic for this program. But of course, you know, Coach Prime and, you know, Shadur and those guys, they're going to think they can win every single game because you have to think that way.
You do. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to go into it with that kind of goal, and they're going to get tested right out the gates going up against TCU, man. And then Nebraska. I mean, I don't know what to expect from Nebraska. I just know that the rivalry makes that a really interesting game.
Yeah, no question. And then, you know, you look at probably game three against CSU is maybe the, quote, easy game, but that's a rivalry game as well. And, you know, the Rams are pretty talented too, so. You know, none of it's easy. I think it's a tough 12-game schedule. And to try to find and project 6 wins right now, I don't know where they are. I think they can get there, but I don't know where they are because I think there's no locks on this schedule. I mean, there's just it's such a interesting schedule where they could start 0-3, they could start 3-0, 2-1. I mean, it's all over the board what they could do.
And those first three games are so important, too, because, well, again, TCU is tough. But Nebraska, CSU, because then you're right at, you're at Oregon and then USC coming up back-to-back. So that's going to be a difficult stretch there.
Yeah, and you almost have to win those two home games against Nebraska and CSU if you're going to have a good season leading into the Pac-12, because if you split or even lose both those home games, this season's over. You know, I mean, it could be, honestly, you know, a two-win season type of deal. So those two games, I think, are huge for the bus, setting the tone.
If it is something like that, if it's a bad season, two wins. I had our morning show host Tanner was saying that if they lose to CSU, Buffs fans are going to want to run primetime out of town already. Do you see any of that stuff, or is it still like, no, even if it's this bad season, we still got his back?
Yeah, I think they'll still have his back. I mean, you're going to have some people that'll you know, be ready to pounce on it and say, look, this isn't working. You know, look what he did. But, you know, I think that a lot of people are curious about how he's going to handle losing if they get to that point. And I am too, but I think that there's going to be a way he spins it to where it's like, look, we're on our way. We're coming, you know, that type of deal. So I still think you can spin it that way. And even if they finish, say, 2-10, I think it depends on what those 10 losses look like. I mean, if they're blown out every game like last year, well, that's not good. But if you're losing by, you know, 10 points a game and you got several one-score losses in there, well, that's a major upgrade even from last year. So I think it depends on what it looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Either way, going to be entertaining, no doubt about it. We'll enjoy the rest of the week there at Pac-12 Media Days. We'll be curious to get your thoughts on what is it? Charles Kelly there instead of primetime, is that right?
Yeah, Charles Kelly, the defensive coordinator, is here, and you know, we'll get a chance to talk to him in a little bit. So we'll see how he handles it.
All right, looking forward to it. Brian, I appreciate you making some time for us, my man.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, 31 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We continue on with our division outlook in the NFL. And this week takes us to the NFC North. A very intriguing. The first one we did, Angel, which one did we do first? Was it we did the West last week? We did South the week before that. It's the least interesting division in all of football for me. Least of it. But this one has some intrigue, definitely. NFC North, of course, Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings. I ran to go get my notebook. Tanner Swintz joining us in studio. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me in.
Who are you picking to win the NFC North?
Oh, God. Let me go
Bears,
get my notepad.
Packers, Vikings, or Lions?
The Vikings. I'm not sold at all on America's little darling sweetheart, the Detroit Lions.
Why are you the opposite of a person that I want to talk to?
I'm just
right
not
now.
Sold on them, guys. I mean, they got hot at the end of the year. Whoop-de-de-do. I mean, that's the same thing.
Read it, did to do.
Who cares? I mean, they got hot at the end of the year, and that was it. And even everyone's like, well, they beat the Packers. The Packers were a mediocre team at best last year. I'm not sold on the Lions. The jury's still out with the Bears.
Well, they won three games last year.
I know. But I like what they're building. They're not there yet. And then Jordan Love.
Jay Love. Packers serving love. That's what's going to be happening this year.
Tennis reference.
The Chicago Bears, 3-14 last year, 0-6 in the division. They lost 10 straight to finish the season. The defense are historically bad, and that's a Chicago team that's been historically good.
Right.
They gave up the most points in the league. That was the first time that had happened since World War II.
Wow.
That was the first time the Bears have done that. Can Matt Eberflus get it right in his second season? Justin Fields ran for 1,100 yards, threw for 2,200 yards. Now he says he's going to throw for a million. Or what? 4,000. Okay, close.
I like Justin Fields. I do. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. And in fact, you know, no, he's the third best quarterback in there. I don't think Jordan Love's worth a darn.
We're going to find out. They added DJ Moore, lost David Montgomery, though. They were the best rushing team, one of the best rushing teams in the league. They were number one, actually. And that was because your quarterback ran for 1,100 yards, and Montgomery was like at 800 yards. Montgomery's gone. I think he went to Detroit.
Running the ball doesn't pair well with a horrible defense.
They were such a bad defense last year.
They did get some pieces, though.
They did. They did pick up some pieces. Talk to us about those pieces, Ancho.
I know Tremaine Edmonds from the linebacker from the Bills. They don't still have Roquan Smith, do they?
No. Because he went to Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm saying, running the ball and a bad defense just don't pair well together because you can't score as quick. So you either need to have a high flying, like you have to have the number one offense if you're going to have the worst defense in the world, you know, just to try and score that quickly. Though that's just a bad combination with the Bears, and that's why it resulted. I think they're better. I think they're improved.
Well, they got to get better at stopping the run. They were really the interior run. Again, they ran over there. They got DeMarcus Walker. So that's what, so my top three questions for them is can they stop the run inside? Because they weren't the worst team against the run. It was just teams could just pound the ball on them. Life without Montgomery. Who's the other running backs there? Khalil Herbert or Donta Foreman. How do they do there with those guys there? And again, the question is Justin Fields. Who is he? You know, can he be a complete player in this league?
No, you expect quarterbacks in year three to take that big jump. You saw it with Josh Allen. So now it's his turn. And we've seen, you know, they get through 2 years, you get a big wide receiver for your young quarterback, and then they take that jump. Justin Fields didn't get a big receiver for him. So is that, hey, we're going to be leaning on his running ability a little bit more and still just steadily improve the passing? Or is it, I need you to be at that 4,000-yard mark if you're going to get another contract?
Well, I don't know about the Bears. We'll give our full predictions here in a moment. Detroit, 9-8 last year. They did knock the Packers out of the playoff spot that they wanted so badly. The Lions made sure they didn't get in. Dan Campbell entering his third season. He is 12-21-1, has a tie in there. They picked up David Montgomery in free agency. Jared Goff, 29 touchdowns and 7 interceptions last year. Very good season for him. They haven't won a division title since 1993. They haven't won a playoff game since 1991, and they haven't actually been a championship team since 1957. So there's a lot of bad history there for the Lions. They're building through free agency on the defensive side, trying to get better there. They drafted some decent players, the linebacker Jack Campbell, and then they drafted a good safety. Got Graham Glasgow, former Bronco.
That'll do it.
You know, their wide receiver who they liked was Jameson Williams, your Alabama boy, but he tears his ACL, and now he's one of the gamblers, so he's out for 6 games.
He's one of the gamblers.
They did draft running back Jahmyr Gibbs of Alabama.
Yep. So,
but why? Why did they do that? They moved it up in the second round to do that, right? Or third round?
They want to ground and pound.
You can get a running back for a dime a dozen,
the question now is why draft a running back
in
the first round?
Why would you do that?
We might start to see that trend change over the next few years. Top three. Now, they were defensively, they were terrible against the pass. They were 30th. They were 32nd overall, 28th in points allowed.
But that offense was legit.
The offense was damn good. They were 8th in pass. They were 4th overall last year.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to pair those things, you need to have a high power offense. I like Dan Campbell. I like the Lions.
I love Dan Campbell.
I do. I like the goofy stuff, the bite the kneecaps.
Yeah, but he's also emotional, too.
Yeah.
So he speaks to all sides of life.
I do like Dan Campbell. This team, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think they caught fire at the right time. I do not see them doing any. I don't think they touched 9 wins again this year.
So here's my three questions surrounding the Lions. Jared Goff has a streak going of 324 passes without throwing an interception. Can Jared Goff be that version of Jared Goff again? He was the forgotten man shipped away to go serve on the wall, just like Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. But instead, he has made the wall kind of a decent place to be right now. That's
befriended
Detroit.
The wildlings, they're all
Dan
good
Campbell
now.
Is definitely, he's like the big giant, the wildling giant.
Yes.
Can the defense improve? They really added a lot of dollars there. They threw a lot of money at it, so we'll see. And my third point is this. Can Dan Campbell turn this thing into something else other than just a darling and the one team we all kind of agree, Detroit. Can they be taken seriously?
I don't see it happening. I am so pissed that that's the first game. We're all excited for football to be back, ready for the NFL on Thursday night. You got the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who are you rooting for in that game?
I probably won't watch it. Kansas City.
You won't watch the first football game.
You've already gambled
Kansas
on it, probably.
Kansas City is going to beat them by 20-plus. It's going to be an absolutely blowout of a game. It's going to be so stupid. That is the dumbest opening game I've seen in a long time.
So you'd rather have like Bills Chiefs week one and just get that one out of the way? You could have that in
you
like
want
week
it later
14.
When they're better.
No, would love to see a matchup like that. They normally do an AFC NFC game.
Mahomes and Allen are going to be at their top of the game in week one?
No.
Putting up 700 yards.
We'll see them
each
in the playoffs. Give me an AFC versus a good NFC team. Don't give me a middling nobody really gives a damn about team.
Like the Green Bay Packers, perhaps.
No.
Okay.
No.
They were 8-9 last year with Aaron Rodgers. 18 years. That's the question around the Packers. You're replacing a guy after 18 years. Jordan Love will be the guy, for better or for worse. Brian Gutekunst, the most entertaining name to say in all of general management in the NFL. And Matt LaFleur, great record as a Packers head coach, but how much of that was Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, interesting. We had mentioned it with like the 3-year jump for quarterbacks, and we've seen that go away with the rookie quarterback. You're going to start your first year. Jordan Love has kind of played that traditional backup quarterback role where he sat on the bench for a few years and learned from Rodgers, and now the vets moved on. It's your time to shine. Can you step in and lead this team?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because, I mean, people may be trying to draw comparisons to Favre and Rodgers, but my thing is Green Bay wanted Aaron back. Like, they've wanted him back the last couple of years. So there must not be unanimous thinking that Jordan Love's ready to go.
There's definitely some concern.
That would scare the hell out of me as a Packers fan. I think this team... probably third or fourth in the division. I mean, I think Chicago's probably going to come in last. Then I think it's going to be Detroit and Green Bay fighting for that middle spot. But I've never been less excited about a team than I am with the Green Bay Packers.
They were pretty much middle of the road in every big time stat. You know, offense overall, pass rush, right in the middle of the road. Points middle of the road. They were good on the pass, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. That's going to change probably this year. Top three questions. Number one, life without Aaron Rodgers. What does that look like? And then number two is, it's Jordan Love. Can he be halfway decent to keep the Green Bay Packers above water? They lose Brett Favre. They get Aaron Rodgers, and they pick up right where they left off. Can they do it again? We're going to find out.
Jordan Love LaFleur's guy?
Probably, right?
It's got to be.
Are they tied to the hip?
They must be.
It's got to be.
If they don't have success with Love, they're both gone.
LaFleur was probably the one. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was coaching them when they drafted Love, right?
Yes. And another risk, LaFleur hired his guy in 21, Joe Barry, as defensive coordinator. They've been pretty bad on the defensive side of the ball for the most part. Middle of the road, but terrible against the rush. So pressure's on him and Matt LaFleur for that decision that he made, because Joe Barry wasn't good anywhere else. When he was with Detroit and Washington, he wasn't a good D coordinator there. Final question I have. Green Bay has used 12 of their last 13 first-round picks on defense. Is that going to start to take hold? Because the defense doesn't show you that at all, they've done.
It doesn't, and this probably won't make a whole lot of sense, but it does in my brain. Jordan Love can't be good. The Packers have been so lucky to go from Favre to Rodgers. At a certain point, you can't go back-to-back-to-back with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You just can't.
The Broncos do that. Russ.
There was
so many breaks in between.
There was the six years of hell.
There is no way that Jordan Love's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. That just doesn't happen in sports. So that's where I'm going. That's my reasoning. It just can't happen.
Minnesota Vikings were amazing last year. Deceptively kind of amazing because of all their comebacks. 11-0 in one-score games. Kirk Cousins set a record leading 8 fourth-quarter comebacks last year.
After watching the quarterbacks documentary on Netflix, I love Kirk Cousins even more.
He just said the whole quarterbacks all revolve around
Kirk
Cousins.
Every quarterback in the NFL is a variation of Kirk Cousins.
Go ahead.
Please explain that to me.
Give me a quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes.
Elite Kirk Cousins.
Tua.
Left-handed Kirk Cousins.
Lamar Jackson.
Running Kirk Cousins.
Josh Allen.
Big arm Kirk Cousins.
Does that make sense?
He's just your prototypical quarterback. He's going to get great stats. Yep. He may win a lot of games, but you're going to lose a few games, too.
He's just kind of the guy. But he's not the guy or this guy or that guy. He's just a good quarterback. He was like that with Washington.
That is the guy I would love to have leading my team right now.
Ryan Tannehill is Kirk Cousins' cousin.
No, Ryan Tannehill is a worse Kirk Cousins. Come on now, be fair.
He's his cousin.
That team is going to be fun to watch again this year, I think. I think Justin Jefferson was snubbed from being the MVP last year.
His goal?
He should have been the MVP of the league last year.
His goal is to get 2,000 yards. This year. He was at 1,800 yards last year. He was something special. He holds the NFL record for receiving yards in a player's first three seasons with 4,800 yards. And in last year, he broke Randy Moss's seasonal team record with 1,809 yards, going for 2,000.
He should have been the MVP last year, without a doubt in my brain. But the MVP will always be a quarterback from here on out.
Pretty much.
If there was a year that he was going to do it, Justin Jefferson deserved that. He won the game against Buffalo with that catch, that crazy catch that he had. There was another one that he had later in the year. I can't remember who they're playing. Justin Jefferson is elite.
All right, picks time. I got Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay. That's where I'm going. Angel, where are you going?
I'm going to go Bears last. Packers finish third. The Lions win the division.
Oh, I almost did that. I want to do it.
Why would you do that?
Because they're the Lions.
I like what they got going there.
I like what they got.
Yeah, it's nice.
Knock them down. We're going to get up. We're going to bite your kneecaps on the way up. We're going to have win football. Then we're going to cry about it in the locker room because we love each other.
You're going to lose by 9 this time instead of... Can I? Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah. Chicago, no. Green Bay last. Then Detroit, then Chicago, then Minnesota.
Oh, Tanner.
Justin Fields gets it going. Huh? Yeah.
Wow. Okay, 49 after the hour. What do we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn today on this 21st day of July? I learned that for CSU Rams fans, it is, you just want to beat CU and that's it. You don't even think about the other factors around it, that if they're successful and you beat them while they're successful, it makes you more successful, so then things are more successful. Nope, you don't care. It's all the same to you. You just want to win your rivalry games. That's what I learned about Rams fans today. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Lane Kiffin gets it.
He does kind of get it, huh?
I think you spend 3 years with Saban in the rehab center, you're going to figure out some of those same philosophies and thought processes. So I like it. It's not like he said he's not complaining about it, but he's telling you how it is. This is the day-to-day life of NIL and transfer portal, and it's chaotic, it's wild, it's reckless, and if we don't get a control over it, it could really hurt the league and college football.
You got to figure it out at some point. And again, we utilize NIL stuff here. We work with student athletes and do radio shows and all that, but it's more of an outlet and a venue for them to come on and talk. And yeah, they get paid for it and everything, but it's just different. It's the way we're seeing it on some scales is just, it's got an ugly side to it. It does have an NFL business side to it, but as Lane Kiffin pointed out, the difference is there's no salary cap. So
there's no NCAA monitoring or checking in on this.
There's no lid that says you can only have so much money allocated to NIL. You can only have so much, because there's no way to really control that. Because you could say, oh, no, we're only bringing this much in, but Billy Bean's Soda Factory can find ways to get these guys some money. I mean, who's going to stop them? That is the insane part of this whole deal. What do you got going this weekend, Angel?
Nothing much. I'm going to go see Oppenheimer tonight.
Oh, nice.
Very excited for that. I've been on a Nolan movie kick, so I'm going to wrap that up with Oppenheimer.
Choosing that over Barbie.
Yeah. I might check that out next week.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. I heard it was, like, somebody said it was actually, like, on the surface, it's about Barbie, but it's actually got a pretty deep premise to it.
We'll see. Barbie is not my thing. I don't know.
Is Ken going to be a bad guy in this? Because every preview I've seen, he looks like he might be a bad guy. Like, yeah, he just looks like he's getting irritated.
There's a sense of maybe Ken is stuck of being in Barbie's shadow, and he wants to be his own person, doll, whatever he is.
His own doll. Oh, man, fun week of shows, man. It was a blast. Holyoke says, Vikings, Lions, Bears, Packers, oh my. 9 wins may win the division. That's what I have, I think. Vikings, Lions, Bears, and the Packers. Life without Aaron Rodgers will prove to not be lovely. And with that, we will leave you. Good night, Northern Colorado.